Let's all stand, if you will. I'd like to read a little scripture, Psalms 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all my heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we're such a blessed people, Lord, standing here tonight. Lord, we have so much to thank you for. Lord, we just feel humbled, Lord, sometimes, Lord, when you see what you've done for us and you see how much patience you've had with us. Lord, we just love and appreciate you with all our hearts. Lord, the very least we can do, Lord, is to sing with all our hearts and give back to you our lives. Lord, just have your preeminence in this service. Let your will be done. Let your glory, Lord, shine. Lord, let your will be done in this song service, and as the ministry comes forth, Lord, and your word comes forth, Lord, let it just soak into our hearts, Lord. Let us sit intently to hear what you have for us this night. Lord, just bless each and every one now, and I ask in the precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 98, I think it is. Thinking of this long song the other day. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Amen. Puts everything in perspective. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear. Page 277, I believe. Big books there. Sweet, sweet spirit. Amen. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, bless it to our hearts, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated if you like. Amen. Never want to take that for granted. Sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. Page 399, same book. I love this little song. Amen. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This trouble these days will all be over. Amen. You may be seated if you like. Praise the Lord. Brother Amos, would you like to take up the offering of song?
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to say once more how thankful we are, Lord, you've given this opportunity to be here this evening, Lord, to gather around thy precious word with our brothers and sisters, Lord. It is a grand privilege. Thank you for it. Lord, we just ask that you'll have your complete preeminence, Lord, in the remainder of this service. Lord, so far it's already been good to be here. We just ask that you continue to add your blessings to the service, Lord. May all that's said and done be for your glory, Lord.
Amen.
Once more, we ask that you'll bless this offering, Lord, may it be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom. We ask it in thy precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. I am identified. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so very thankful, Lord, if we can say and sit here tonight, Lord, and say we're identified with thy word. Lord, it's only by your mercy and grace, Lord, any of us could say that, Lord. And Lord, while we're here on this earth, Lord, we have needs that arise in our bodies, our spiritual needs, Lord, wherever it may be, Lord, you know all about it before we even lift our hands this night. Lord, we ask you to look down on each and every heart, Lord, and meet that need according to your perfect will. Lord, more than anything, Lord, I feel the pressure, Lord, is the spiritual need, Lord. Lord, help me, Lord. Lord, I need a closer walk with thee, Lord. I feel it's time is running out. Lord, let me make use of the time I have, Lord, to surrender all to you, Lord. Lord, so that's the most critical need in my life I know of, Lord. Everything else will be according to your will as you see fit. Lord, I know you'll take care of us. Lord, just have your preeminence this night, Lord. More than anything, give us revelation, Lord, of thy word. Lord Jesus, and let your will be done in each and every one of our lives. Let every one of us glorify you for the need you've met in our lives, Lord. Never fail to give you glory and honor for it. We just ask you to bless our man in the service, Lord. And Lord, just keep your hand upon us, Lord. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I guess the young kids have a song tonight. They want to come on up.
Thank you.
patience on me. I know He's still working on me. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Praise God. Let's sing that little song, Reach Out and Touch the Lord, as our pastor comes tonight.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, how we appreciate You again this evening that You've given us another wonderful opportunity to gather around Your Word. And Lord, knowing again that Your Word is inspired, so there's never a time, Lord, we gather around Your Word where it would ever seem to be dull. Lord, nothing seemed to come from it. But, oh God, it's inspired to the little bride of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we're so thankful for it. We pray that You will speak to us now through the Word and open our hearts. Again, Lord, we'd know the plan of God in our lives and know what would be pleasing unto Thee. We ask it again to Your glory and Your honor and praise in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I enjoyed that song. The young people sang. It's beautiful. Amen. He's still working on me. I think every one of us can say that. Amen. There wouldn't be a one of us left out. Let's turn our Bibles again to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And we want to read a portion of this that we read this morning. Not all of it, but just part of it. Begin to 5th verse this evening. Amen. We possess hatred for the works of the flesh. Amen. All right, Romans 8, 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, take sides with it, you know. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now may the Lord bless during His word. You may be seated. I hope that's stirring a new light in your heart. Amen. Of seeing exactly and being able to understand exactly what Paul was speaking about here. And knowing that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It just can't work with God. That carnal mind is against God, and it's always contrary to what God wants done. The carnal, sensual, fleshly, worldly mind is always contrary. It thinks, it takes sides with the world. It takes sides with filth and sin. It takes sides with all the Jezebels and nonsense. It takes sides with the ministers preaching contrary to the Word of God. It takes sides with it because it's carnal. Your Brother Branham spoke many, many times in his messages of what the carnal mind can do. And many times he mentioned about, speaking of Eve, Adam and Eve, how the carnal mind can destroy the reality of the true beauty of what Eve was. He talked about how that artist had drew this picture of Eve. It looked like some horrible creature. You know, but she was the most perfect woman, Brother Branham said, there was ever was. And man's carnal mind turned it into be something crazy, something contrary to the Word of God. And that's what the carnal mind always does, is it turns the things of God into something crazy, nonsense. It tries to take away from the Word of God because it's, again, always taken up for the side of the world and the way the world is. See, you know it's a carnal mind when a man loves a ball game. It's a carnal mind because it's taking up for the things of the world. Having her special players and maybe special race car drivers and all these different things of the world. It's carnal, and it takes up for the side of that. It takes up for it when a son of God would hate the very thoughts of it, knowing what it does to people, how it distracts them from their job of being sent here for the Lord, knowing the Scripture says that we must attend upon the Lord without distraction, and to know all these distractions lays man and women's hearts, and through carnality brings them contrary to what God wants in their life. We realize here that as Paul is speaking here, he's speaking of a new birth. He's speaking of a man and woman, as he says there, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And the only way that can be is through the new birth. Christ come in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, think of that. You know, he may have questions of wonder, am I born again or am I not? You see, we should be able to take the Word of God, the Scripture, and what the prophet brought, breaking these mysteries open. We should be able to look at it and read it carefully, and should be able to compare ourselves by the Word of God and know for a certain whether we're born again or not. If we look at it and we see the side that he's talking about that's not born again, then there's no hoping, wishing, and thinking maybe. No, it's just either we are or we're not. There's no gray area to it. We are either born again or we're not born again. You see? And that's what Paul is bringing out here. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity. All right, it's going down. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, here's a good test to give ourselves. If Christ be in us, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And as he goes on to say, read it again. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Can we see our bodies being quickened by that Spirit in us, to crucify away from us the things of the world, to where no longer it has any, there's no appetite for it at all, none whatsoever. Amen. At all. You know, it's like Brother Branham said also, he said, oh, if I could only quit drinking, quit this and quit that. What was the first thing he said? it in Christ. And I love how he put it next. It's in whose is Melchizedek. It's all gone. All gone. And you see so many people that claim to become Christians, and then they just do nothing but struggle and fight and try to live right and try to be a Christian and try to stay away from evil things. And they get so nervous and uptight by trying to stay away from it and being tempted with it. They're just all in a turmoil with no peace. But his word today told us what comes with this being born again, peace.
Amen.
You see? There's no fighting it. There's no trying to make yourself stay away from anything. It's the Christ in you has changed your whole complete desire. That there is now no more desire for sin. It ain't like it was back under the Old Testament we read today. Oh, it ain't like that no more. To where we just come and bring our sins before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me, and then go out with the same desire. But you see, people are trying to do that today and serve God in this message. Try to go out with that same desire. Keep asking God to forgive them, but keep going out with the same desire. You see? But the desire has to be changed. It has to be destroyed. That old worldly desire for the things of the world. To where things look like they're so fun and so entertaining, you know, and so interesting. To where we like to see what's going on in the world just to see and to be a, feel a little bit a part of it, you know. But there's something about a born-again son or daughter of God that hates it. They possess now, after this new birth. Let me read it again so we make sure we get what the prophet said here in the Church Age book. On page 137. At the bottom, first page 136, the life that left that broken blood cell came back upon the repentant sinner, or repented one. The life that was in him. And who? Christ. The life that was in him came back upon, I have to use this for myself, and you have to use it for yourself. But that life came back upon me. You have to be able to understand the same thing. And it has to vindicate it. And that life that was in him came back upon me. And I go back with no more desire to sin. And I now, I'm reading this because it's personalized to me. He says we. But I'm personalizing it to me now. And I no more, and I go back with no more desire to sin, and I now possess a hatred for the works and lust of the flesh. I know. Since that day that I was born again, I possessed a hatred for the lust of the flesh. You know, years ago, there was still a lot of things going on in the church. A lot of things going on that was it should not have been. And I remember still being yet a young man. And some of the brothers wanted me to go to a ball game with them. And then I knew they didn't have something. Because within me then was a hatred to go to that ball game. And I didn't go. But they went. And they already know these things. They know the scripture, the same one I read tonight. They know the quote that the prophet said in the Church Age book. But yet, they had the desire for sin. And by God's grace, I had not that desire for that sin. But I had compared that. Knowing even at that time, some had the desire still for sin, yet called themselves believers. And some didn't. And even thinking upon these things, and many things down through the years, it seems like the older you get, the more you kind of metal and go down through the years and think about things that God has done for you, what he's brought you through. And thinking on these things, I was thinking about these things, what the prophet said in this message that it was bringing out here in the Church Age book. But before I read it, I'm going to read in Scripture, if you can turn with me if you want to, simple little Scripture, but powerful. Acts 2:38. We read it every time we baptize somebody. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Again, remember me renewing your minds back to the things the prophet said about true repentance? True godly sorrow repentance? You're truly sorry for what you've done? That many never had before they was baptized. They just repeated what the preacher told them to do. And read what the scripture said to do, repent. So they just got on their knees and they were, or maybe went to the altar and asked God, Lord Jesus, forgive me for everything I've ever done in my life. But wasn't truly sorry. Didn't have a true sorrow in your heart for the filth you had in your life. Oh, yeah, obeyed the scripture. But not the true sorrow for what was done. And oftentimes, not the true repentance of not turning away from that past sin. Just kept on going. Kept on going. Until the service came that they was going to baptize some people, and they got dunked into the water and come back out wet. Got dried off, went home. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. Didn't seem to be anything that really changed. Preacher gets up and preaches his messages. He tells the people, this is wrong and this is right and you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. Bring the scriptures and tell them exactly what the word said to do. As we sit there, we begin to listen and we kept trying to get better. We tried to quit stop doing this and tried to quit stop doing that because the preacher said it was in the Bible. And he read things the prophet said out of the messages. And we sit there and we just keep trying to get better and we keep trying to get better. But still nothing happened. At least nothing with the reality. But oh yeah, we repented. Whether it was the way God wanted it done, only God knows. But we repented and we got baptized. We were fully immersed. It wasn't even sprinkled. We were fully immersed. And then we know God's word said, he shall fill you with the Holy Ghost. And he promised us, he said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off. And as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Yeah, I believed that. I believed it. I'm sure probably most of us believed it. You see? I want to read here now in this here, the token, or I'm sorry, in the Church Age book. I won't hold you too long tonight, Lord willing. I can't say I didn't bring enough to hold you long, but I tried not to bring so much with me. Try to hold me back a little bit. But listen now, this is in Church Age book, page 147. Are you listening close? Now, how many would believe that maybe possibly the Holy Ghost would be here. And possibly he would be trying to tell you something.
Amen.
Would you believe it?
Amen.
Would you believe it? Or would it be, oh, sir, so-and-so sitting over here, I know she needs it. It's for brother so-and-so, I know, because, oh, my goodness, I've seen him make so many mistakes, you know. It's got to be for him. Or would I be able to sit here and say, Lord, talk to me.
Amen.
Talk to me. Because everything God says in his word is for a purpose. Is that right?
Amen.
None of his word goes out void. Is that right? Absolutely not. He says here, It is the Spirit that gives life and power. Power. What's power? Authority. Right now, so many cases, Satan has authority. He can throw us an electronic device. He can throw us things in the world. He can just throw us just about anything and we'll grab onto it. So he's got the authority. Satan does. Well, it's like that. But if Christ comes in us and he has the authority.
Amen.
I read this morning, didn't I? We'd have power over the world, flesh, the devil, sin. It is the Spirit that gives life and power. And that came at Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? Think about it just a moment. Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry till they be endued with power on high. They gathered into the upper room and they began to pray and prayed for days. And finally, God fulfilled his promise. He filled them with his Spirit. And they come down out of that upper room, a whole different acting people to the rest of the world. They were strange. They were oddballs. Remember the prophet preaching the message, oddballs?
Yeah.
They were oddballs. They were, to some people, they thought to be crazy, drunk. And they thought they were drunk, but it was only about the third hour of the day. So they knew, surely they wasn't drunk. But they seen they had something that they'd never had before. And they had something that they'd never seen before in their life. It was strange. And their desires changed. The way they did things. The way they were used to be cowards. And cower down to the government. And preaching the gospel. Instead of hiding. Trying to stay hid so they wouldn't get killed. They openly went out. And preached Christ. Salvation unto many. What is it that caused this misunderstanding? It is the Spirit that gives life and power, and that came at Pentecost. Now, what is it that caused this misunderstanding? The answer is experience. Because on before this, he's talking about things, people coming up with, I didn't want to take the time to read, but you can go home and read it, of different things people had mixed up on what being filled with the Holy Ghost was, being born again. He said, what is it that caused this misunderstanding? The answer is experience. We have gone by experience and not the Word. And you'd probably be surprised how many times in my lifetime that I've heard people say, oh, I'll tell you what, the Lord touched me. I had chills running all over. I had a good time in the Lord. You know? But maybe missed true sorrow, repentance. Wasn't truly sorry for what they'd done. He says, away with experience as your measuring line. There is only one plumb line, only one rod, and that is the Word. Now watch carefully and get this. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Do you realize the thousands of people in this message that think all they got to do is believe and everything's okay? How wrong that is. How wrong. Oh, I believe, Brother Steve. But have they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? That's the real serious thing. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? This is the whole of the problem right here, he says. He's seen it then. Which we see many places in this church age book. It was looking as though the prophet was seen way out there in time, even to this day, and was putting it in this book of what was going to happen in many places. This is the whole of our problem right here. Listen. People repent of their sins. They get baptized in water. But they don't go on to receive the Holy Ghost. You believe under receiving of the Spirit. Believing on Jesus is the step in the right direction, which is toward the Holy Ghost. But the people stop there. They go as far as water and then stop. They believe. Oh, yes. Jesus sit here and say, I believe, Brother Steve. I believe. Jesus sit here tonight and say, I believe what you're saying, Brother Steve. I believe. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They believe and then stop. The Bible does not say that you receive when you believe. So how can I go around telling people they're a bride because they believe the message? Oh my. Well, so Brother Brown did. Yeah, but they didn't catch what other things he said with that. That's the thing. They only want to use the one thing that costs no price whatsoever. There's no cost to it. There's no life it has to come with it just to say I believe. The Bible does not say you receive when you believe. It is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The exact and literal translation is, did you, having previously believed, receive the Holy Ghost? The people believe and then stop. You don't receive the Holy Ghost when you believe unto Him, having repented. You go on and receive the Holy Ghost then, do you see it? That is what's wrong with our fundamentalists. They have no power. Oh, they have no power. Look at the people in this message that have no power. No authority. None. They have none. They're just called believers. But no power. They haven't got no more authority over their flesh than anything. They ain't got no more authority over sin than anything. No more authority over the devil than anything. The devil can throw anything and they swap it up like it's nothing. See? They ain't got no authority. Yeah. There's no power. He said they fall short of Pentecost. What was Pentecost going? Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth. They're like the children. Are you listening? Remember what I said a couple weeks ago? They're like the children of Israel who came out of Egypt and stopped short of the promised land. Now God's prophet is telling us something here. Listen. They're like the children who came out of Egypt and stopped short of the promised land. Now those children of Israel left Egypt about 2 million strong. Wow. There's a lot of people in this message too. A lot of them. They're everywhere. They all journeyed together. All saw the same miracles of God. We all can read about the same. Can listen to the same miracles on tape, on recording devices. All partook of the same manna, the same word, and water from the smitten rock. All followed the same cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. 2 million of them. But only two reached the promised land. He's shown a type here. Only two is type of receiving the Holy Ghost. Wow. Out of 2 million. Only two were true, real believers. That is correct, because the word tells us that the rest died because of unbelief. Tell me why a woman, after following her no-good-for-nothing pastor that says it's okay to wear them blue jean skirts with zippers, pockets, and everything. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And she listens to that. What is that? It's unbelief. Because God's word already said for her what to do. Not to wear anything that pertains to man's apparel. That is correct. Because the word tells us that the rest died because of unbelief. And because of unbelief, not enter in. Remember, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Some will not even believe at all. Wow. Hebrews 3:19. Then since that is so, and only two entered, then the rest were not true believers. What made the difference? Two stayed with the word. When the hearts of the 10 spies failed at Kadesh Barnea, Joshua and Caleb did not stagger, for they believed the word. Hallelujah. And they said, "We are more than able to take the land." Wow. More than able to take? Not listen to these filthy hypocrites sing their mockery? More than able to take that land? Are we more than able to take football games, race cars, break the laws of land? Are we more than able to do that? They knew that they could because God said, "I have given you the land." Hallelujah. After all those Israelites saw the power of the good and the goodness and the deliverance of God. All those Israelites saw the power and the goodness and deliverance of God. Don't tell me somebody ain't following this message and ain't seen it somewhere through that prophet's messages. They've seen it. They did not enter into rest, which is a type of the Holy Ghost. So you can see right now that very few will ever believe all the way to the receiving of the Spirit of God. Very few. He just gave us the type. Out of 2 million, they're all seeing the same thing. All heard the same thing. And it was God's provided channel. Look at the thousands and thousands and thousands that had the opportunity to see this deliverance channel that God sent. And seen the mighty signs and wonders and miracles and heard it and listened to it. And talked to people that seen it and was there at the time. Look at how many there is. And yet as a type, only two really believed it all the way. All the way. And only two was true believers. Showing again in type, he said that very few will ever believe all the way to the receiving the Spirit of God. Now, by God's grace, I see this playing through. It was as it was filmed in and God's great economy. And now the reality is happening. Very few will go on to really being filled with the Spirit of God. Believe? Oh, yes, I believe. As the Apostle Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, that's the thing. You may have thought I was going to say something very strange and powerful tonight. It was very powerful. If we have eyes to see. But that's why there's so many problems today. The message churches that we have today. Because they have never received yet the Holy Spirit. How many times have I stood behind this pulpit and talked about how many preachers that's preaching behind their pulpits has no idea what the Holy Ghost is? They have not been born again. Impossible. For if they have been, there's no way they could come against that Christ, that word. How can the Holy Ghost in him deny his own word? He can't. Impossible. And he get up there and go through all kinds of emotions and actions and then preach some kind of a false creed. Give them their idea. And then the congregation sit there and crown the Lord Jesus Christ again with thorns. Amen, that's right. Crucify him again. But there was two that came out. I ask you tonight, in closing, I told you it wouldn't hold you very long. Do you sit there tonight with hatred for works of the flesh? When somebody throws something dirty and filthy at you, do you hate it? Or do you giggle at it? Think it's funny? Everything is contrary to God's word. What do you do with it? Do you hate it when it's contrary to the word? Or are you all for it? Remember, I warn you tonight, there is that place in Christ to be filled with the Holy Ghost after you believed. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's a lot of believers, friends, in this message. Out, there's way too many. Way too many. Yeah. There ain't supposed to be that many. But God help us to be one true, amen, genuine believer that has received the Holy Ghost since we believed. Now, if you'll just take and think back now and look at what's going on, you'll know exactly what the prophet was telling us today. What's going on? Many has not received the Holy Ghost since they believed. And all they can declare, they believe it with all that's in them. They can quote you scriptures. They can tell you all about the prophet. But have they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? Oh my. And how darest I do to believe, make people, try to get people to believe they're okay just as long as they believe. Somebody don't know their scripture. Somebody don't know the word of God. You see, God help us to know the Word of God. They seem, as I said, maybe a very simple thing to bring. But as the prophet said in here, this is the problem. This is where the trouble is. Many have not gone on to receive the Holy Ghost since they believed. And just think. I can take God's word and measure up to it and see if I've got it. One of the things I can use is, do I possess the works or the hatred for the works of the flesh? Do I possess that? Is it mine? Does it belong to me? Does it belong to me? When a man gets behind a pulpit and begins to bring something of false doctrine, do I possess that hatred? Not to that person, but that devil that's using that man and the works of that flesh, because it's nothing but flesh. It's coming through carnal senses, and Satan has used and turned that word and twisted it around. Do I hate it? Oh, Brother Stevie's such a nice brother. I ain't saying he's a nice brother, a nice person. He's not my brother. If he's my brother, he wouldn't be doing that. I didn't say he wasn't a nice person. But he's being used of Satan. That's Antichrist. Do I hate that Antichrist? Or do I want to see how close I can get to it? Huh? Do I can't stand it? A strong dislike for things of the world. A strong dislike for all these paganized holidays. Is there a strong hatred for that? That you can't stand it? Or will you go buy little things to make somebody happy? Oh. You know, I don't really believe in this, but, you know, I'm going to buy a few little things to make the guys at work and the ladies at work think that I'm not a fanatic. So I'll buy a few things. See, it's okay, you know, but it's just not my cup of tea. Or do you hate it? Oh my. Do we hate, as I said this morning, any kind of electronic device that would destroy my child's spiritual life? But if you don't hate it, you won't even recognize it. Don't recognize it shouldn't be. The scripture says to raise a child in the way it should go. So when I give him them things, is this the way I want him to go? Huh? Want him to be device-minded? Yeah. Or don't want him to be spiritual-minded? Raise him the way he should go. That's to walk in Christ. Everything. Wife to your husband. Husband to the wife. Everything. This is everything in our life. Amen. Do you hate anything that's contrary to that word?
Amen.
If you don't, I believe it's pretty plain to see God's word says you're not born again. You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. But you better get it before it's too late. Better get it before it's too late. Yeah. Saints, we're in a serious time.
Amen.
Why don't you sisters come on up the instruments, please? And I can't help it, but there's something just pressing on the inside of me. And pressing and pressing. As I said the other day, I feel it on the inside. It's moving into the point where inside I feel I don't have enough time to get this where God wants to be. I've got to make everything count. Everything. Everything. Every scripture count. Every quote count. Everything's got to count now. Because it's so late.
Amen.
I don't know when that time will end. I don't know when the Lord will come. I feel on the inside it's close. It might be 5 years from now, but that is so close. Just think about it. How long it took us to get this far.
Amen.
Oh my. Talk about God having long suffering. Will we be able to make it another 5 years and be there where He wants us to be? Lord Jesus, help us. Amen. Do you understand what the Word's saying today?
Amen.
Oh God, help us.
Amen.
Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord. He's so wonderful. I want to sing that little chorus. You are my all in all. And I trust every man and woman, young person that leaves this place tonight, he will be your all in all. Amen. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God,
oh, hallelujah.
Worthy is your name.
Hallelujah.
Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all, saints. There's that opportunity to rise again. Oh, when I fall down, you pick me up. Oh, when I am dry, you fill me up. You are my all. Oh, there it is. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God. Timothy, come dismiss us. But won't you keep that in mind? That last verse. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Because this isn't something you can do now. It's something he's got to do for you. Rising again. I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I'm dry, you fill me up. You are my all in all. And you know what? Probably, no doubt, all of us, sometime in our life, we have fell down. And we've had to have him pick us up. And he picked us up. And it made us rise again. Probably, no doubt, many of us sometime or another have been very dry. Very dry. It's not tender and feeling the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's very dry. But thank God he fills us up. That's why, to me, he's my all in all. Oh, sing that last verse again, the chorus, Brother Timothy, come on up. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. Oh, when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. You are my all in all. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this day that you've given us. And Lord, for the precious word in which you've renewed to our hearts. And Lord, we just ask a special blessing, Lord, that you would pour it deep down in the inside, Lord, and make it a reality to us. And Lord, help us to see the importance of every word, every action, Lord. Lord, as Eve stumbled and fell, she reasoned one word away. One thing, Lord, is all it took. Just one thing, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, that it's not, it's so often, Lord, it's been easily put into our minds because of man's theories and creeds that there's big sin and little sin. But Lord, let us look into the mirror of your word, Lord, and truly see that you mean exactly what you said, Lord, with every word you brought. And Lord, may it truly strike our hearts in a greater measure. Lord, even every to the letter of what our brothers brought today. Help us, Lord, to see it in a reality, Lord, that we've never seen it in before. For, Lord, that we would be a people that could truly stand there, as he read in Romans 8 this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, may that be a true revival in our hearts. That, Lord, we can stand there with a peace and assurance. And, Lord, that we would have authority in our lives. Of every situation that comes, Lord, the word is backing up my claim and standing behind me, Lord. Father, help us to be better soldiers, Lord. And bless those that couldn't come today, Lord. Strengthen them and encourage them, Lord. Give them health for their bodies. And Lord, anyone here that has a special need on their heart, Lord, or maybe something they need, you know all about it. And Lord, we just ask that you would meet it according to your will. That, Lord, it would bring you glory and honor and praise. And Father, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, for all that you've done. And we ask you to bring us back if you should tarry at the next appointed time. And we'll come praising and worshiping you, Lord, and thanking you for your goodness. In the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Are you thankful for the word that we heard today? Amen. Brother Kevin? Amen. I believe you're forgiven. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, saints, as we walk this journey, and I think of many things that I heard as a child. And you know, and just the way things, people looked at things, and the way people thought of things, and how the word would come, and maybe this one over here would, well, he didn't really mean what he brought. And we've heard that. And as you grow up under that, you kind of begin to accept some things that really isn't the word. And that's where it's super and very important that we go back and make sure that we're not holding on to anything. We heard some past deacon, some past friend, brother, sister, a teacher, anyone along the way say anything that's contrary to what God said. And make sure we're not holding it because, well, I remember so-and-so said this and I think he was right, but may we truly go back and look into the word and measure and weigh it out.
Amen.
For it's your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes.
And that's where each one of us stand tonight. And I pray, God, help us. Open my eyes, Lord. And keep us watchful of everything the enemy has, that we wouldn't let anything overtake us. For, oh my, the hour is late, and Satan is as a roaring lion. And we see the craftiness, the deceptiveness that has crept in. See the coldness and the lukewarmness that's stealing over all the message churches. And may we guard ourselves against that. That, Lord, keep me. Lord, let the revival be in my heart. The revival died in the Lamb, but there's a revival in the bride's heart. It's not always about just jumping and shouting and running all over the church, but there is a joy and a peace. It's there, it's burning, that it's fixing to be over soon. And oh my, if our eyes are truly on the goal, how strangely dim everything else will grow around us. But amen, he's so precious. I thank him for what he's doing for us. And thank God that he's ever mindful of each and every one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that little chorus again as we go. Amen. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. Jesus. bless you. You're dismissed.